What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Den of Nerds podcast. I'm sitting down with a special guest, Jay, Drunk3PO. Jay, what's up, man? How are you?
Special. I'm actually kind of cold. I live in Florida. It's not supposed to get under 70 degrees, and today it's like 45. So I put a hoodie on. You never put a hoodie on in Florida. I'm freezing.
Yeah.
I'm like literally freezing. So
yeah, you guys can't handle that. The weather like down that. I was born in North Carolina, and I remember. I don't remember like a bunch because like we moved when I was like 7 or 8. But I just remember that like the smallest amount of snow would shut the entire town down. And anytime I've like subsequently visited, I've always been shocked because now I live in a place that sets the record essentially for snowfall every year. So it's wild, but. Yeah, a little chilly. Sweatshirt weather in Florida. Who would have thought?
Socks, too. Like, never wear socks.
Are you rocking socks with, like, sandals? Socks and sandals? Are you a sock and sandal kind of guy?
If it calls for it, it's a Florida thing. Florida clothes, we usually wear shorts with a hoodie if we're cold. Like, that's... and sandals. So, that's kind of like the Florida style.
Right on. So I wanted to
shorts on right now, but I'm freezing.
Why don't you throw a blanket on yourself or something? You guys don't even have like blankets and shit like that? Like, you know,
I don't even have heat in the house. So it's just like, deal with it.
Well, I'll tell you, what you do have is that sweet light. Whatever is going on in the background, that is pretty cool. It's probably going to distract the hell out of me, but it's very cool.
It's a fish tank light.
Oh, okay. Right on. So I had a starting point. I wanted to start with the story of Drunk3PO, but before we sort of get into this, it just popped into my brain. I was doing a little like chat with my members. I think it was like on Friday, and I was talking about doing this podcast with you. I was talking about sitting down with you, and somebody said, I'm going to reserve judgment on Jay until I see the podcast. So there's at least one human being out there that is unsure of Jay. And this podcast will be the deciding factor of how they feel about you. No pressure.
I'm sure there's more than one.
Yeah, there's probably more than one.
Wearing this hoodie probably doesn't help either.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, but to be fair, and we're going to get into all of that, you know, same for me, right? Same for me on some of the people that might watch this, you know, from, you know, your circles or whatever. You know, they might not, you know, feel the same way about me. They might not like me. So, look, it's all good. You and I had a phone conversation. I want to say it was like a year and a half ago now. I really don't know because I'm terrible at time. But I just remember you sharing something that I know is not that publicly known about sort of the creation of the Drunk3PO persona and how you found like Phantom Menace, but also like Geeks and Gamers and all that sort of stuff. So I wanted to kind of start there because I think it's like an interesting story and will set the stage for a lot of what I think you and I will talk about today.
So I had like a normal Twitter account. I think it was called like J46711 or something like that. You know, just kind of random. I went and saw The Last Jedi. Hated it. I went and saw it again the next day because every time I went on social media, I just saw a bunch of people saying how great it was, and I felt like I might have missed something. So I went back. Actually, the first time I saw it was by myself. The second time, I brought a bunch of people with me.
I watched it from them or something, like get a little...
Yeah, just to say, did I miss something? And like, am I missing something here? And so saw it again, and none of the people that went with me liked it either. They were just like, that's an odd Star Wars movie. So I went on Twitter and there was a guy that writes for StarWars.com, and he was doing this whole Luke Skywalker thread about how this is the Luke Skywalker that I knew would basically saying this is how Luke was supposed to end up. Like, I believe what Rian Johnson did with Luke Skywalker is exactly how he's supposed to be portrayed. And all I did was write, do you really believe that? Because I don't believe that. I think this is the opposite. And now I've been on Twitter like for a long time, never had an issue. This is the first time in my life that the person responded to me and he goes, hey, we have another one of those. And he immediately blocked me. And then like, I guess all his followers just kind of dogpiled and just started calling me all the wonderful names that are being thrown around. And it freaked me out. And because this never happened to me before, ever. on social media. Never had that. I was like, this is crazy. Like, this, what is this? So I deleted everything. I deleted because I thought, am I going to get in trouble? Like, it's stuff because I've never been, I didn't know what to expect. So I was like, is this Star Wars now? Like, this is what's happening. So some friends of mine wanted to just do some kind of get like hangout on, back in those days, it was Google Hangout before StreamYards and all that stuff. And they just wanted to talk Star Wars. And at the time in my life, I needed an outlet. And so I was like, yeah, no problem. Let's just go. And we all just had stupid Star Wars name. And for whatever reason, we just thought a drunk C-3PO would be funny. So that's where the name came from. Has nothing to do with anything special. C-3PO is not my favorite character. Mm. It just happened. Like, there was another one that's like Buzzed R2-D2 and Hairless Chewbacca. Like, just, we were just being stupid. Right. We came together once a week in front of about three people that watched and just talked what we love and what we don't love about Star Wars. And, you know, from the original prequels to today. And somebody just said, Jay, you should just start a channel and just talk about Star Wars and Marvel, because I really like Marvel. I'm a Marvel weirdo. And so I did, and just made normal videos. If you go back there on the channel, I look absolutely terrible. I was like really overweight. I was dealing with a lot in my life at the time. I was dealing with all my crazy stuff. And for people who don't know, I had just came back from, like, I did a lot of work overseas and stuff like that. So I just came back and I just needed to do a hobby. And so I did a video. I had like 42 subscribers, I think maybe 50. I did a video on The Last Jedi and why I didn't like it and why this and that. And of all people, Peter Serretta from Slash Film found that video. Of all people. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah, I know it.
He went on Twitter and put that video on Twitter and made fun of the views. Like, look at this guy. He has only 100 views on this video, and he laughed at me. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, here I am. And I wasn't even being, if you saw the video, it's like, it's really weird. It really, you know, you remember your first few videos? You have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
Recorded on an iPhone 8 with a fake microphone, like just to look cool. I don't know. And anyway, so Jeremy from Geeks and Gamers, who I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. He came to my defense and, you know, and made a video and talked on Twitter and followed me. And not only him, but other people in that community just kind of came and, then they started showing up in my channel and just appreciated my not so harsh approach on things. And if I had known it would blow up, I probably would have called it something different. I didn't know like the drunk 3PO name would be, it started as a joke, you know, and here we are. I never thought of, that's why I always tell people, just call me Jay. You know, I don't want to be out in public. People are like, hey, drunk. Hey.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those things that happened. And long story short, I live right next to Walt Disney World, and I love going to theme parks. And Jeremy from Geeks and Gamers asked if I could run the theme park channel. And here we are. So that's what I do. It's what I do for them. And that's it. I never thought in a million years I'd be sitting here talking to you. Knew your channel or Star Wars Theory or anybody else that I've made friends with throughout this incredible journey.
Yeah.
So,
dude, yeah, for sure. And I think the reason that that story is so important, the reason I kind of wanted to start there is because with where the fandom's at, and I think a lot of people, myself included, when we were first exposed to, you know, whether it be Geeks and Gamers or Fandom Menace, we had our own ideas, our own beliefs about what it was, what was going on there. And when you told me that story back in the day, I was like, damn, like, there's this human element that's missing from this whole conversation, especially particularly with your story, because, like, you were literally, like, singled out and dogpiled. And it's almost like a like the people, I don't even know what you would call them, but like the sequel defenders, or I guess really just people that clown on people that don't like the sequels or whatever. Like those people kind of created the Phantom Menace by like, you know, saying like, oh, here's another one of those people. And like they were saying like, you know, isms and trying to like make all these connections to it. Like this, oh, it means all these other things. And then we don't like that, so we don't like these people. And so I feel like that's such an important thing. Honestly, something that I don't think gets talked about enough is that more or less, I don't think, like, how unique do you think your experience was? Like, when you hang out with a lot of folks, do you see a lot of that same stuff where it was like, you guys were just trying to have, you know, your opinions about Star Wars online, and then the people that were defending, like, it was like that toxic positivity, like, kind of, do you think a lot of that happened to a lot of folks, or is that, like, unique to, like, your situation?
It's hard to say. I do know in the early stages of what was known as the Phantom Menace. Now the Phantom Menace means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And it is, it's something I don't really say. Like, you know, like, yeah, back then I was like, here we are. And for me, what it meant for me was defending the person that had no voice, who wanted to be heard with their opinion. Whether they liked the movie or not, it was like, you know, let's just share everything. Now, there are a lot of people back then that were part of the Phantom Menace that comes off very aggressive. And I could see where it started to take shape, us versus them, this and that. There was people that stood out that came off very aggressively that really hurt people over here. And then a lot of confusion, and eventually it got to this point where it's like, okay, well, we're just going to be part of Geeks and Gamers, and let's just focus on what we love. Like, I'm just going to focus on the theme park channel. I'll focus on my own channel. I'm going to focus on this, and let's just stop with this ridiculous, what's going on back and forth. And so that's just kind of like where we went. Now, what people's opinions are on Jeremy or Ryan or anybody else over there, that's between you and them. I understand. I get lumped up in them. They are my friends. I love hanging out with them, and, you know, so on and so on, for, you know, whatever that's worth to anybody. So, but it, again, like, if people will judge me because of Jeremy, people will judge me because of Geeks and Gamers, without knowing who I am as a person. So it's like it. And I get that. I mean, but that will happen in any, that just happens. They will judge you who you hang out with. They will judge you. People will judge you for your takes. They'll judge you for whatever. People will get mad at you for having me on your podcast. People will get mad at me for being on your podcast. It's just, just how it is. And it's like, it's funny to me sometimes because they will be like, oh, you talk to Josh? I was like, he's got my phone number. What? It's like, Josh has your phone number? I was like, yeah, guess what? We talked on the phone.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? So it's, you know, but, and I think that's just where we are. It was just this Last Jedi thing that just, I think there was like this big fight going on between what was this, what was that, opinions back and forth. And for me, someone that experienced the early dogpiling, I guess.
Yeah.
And having, you know, I was just shocked by the whole thing. So
that kind of experience can be crazy, dude. You know what I mean? Like, especially if you're not like used to it at all. And like the Peter Scaretta thing is insane. So he just grabs up a random dude's YouTube video and then basically just starts clowning on you.
Yeah.
To his massive amount of. So here's what happened.
He put out a poll on Slash Films about The Last Jedi. And so it was a part of a news article. And then it was basically like, did you like the movie? From what I remember, did you like the video's still up somewhere. Did you like the movie or did you not like the movie? Now, the poll came out like 80% didn't like the movie. So I did a video on that. And that's probably why he took it, because I used his article. But it was pretty bad clown. Yeah, it was like, he goes, your video is 100% wrong. It's nothing but trolls that participated in the poll. And you only have 100 views. Look at that. Like joking on me. And I was like, dang.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, dude.
was like, what? That's the only reason why Jeremy saw. He was like, dang, yep. Who is this slasher guy? Why is he clowning on this little YouTuber?
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, he just kind of swooped in. And so I think for a lot of people, Jeremy became the voice for those that had no voice. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean, you know, just, you know, we were sort of speaking, you know, before we went live, talking about how, you know, we both had like learned a lot. And I assume a lot of folks just in general learned a lot from that time of creating content, you know, the whole like fan war and like to where we're at now. Like, you know, you guys over there kind of distance yourselves from Phantom Menace and just stuck to Geeks and Gamers and like something that you guys could have more control over. And, you know, I totally understand that. You know, there was a time, and this is actually where you and I first started speaking, was when I had done this thing called the Gray Order, where I was essentially trying to create a third option. You know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, there's Phantom Menace, then there's all these people that I don't even know what you would call them. They're all defenders. I wanted a third option that was like, oh, no, you can, you know, have your opinions, but we are going to try to not, essentially the thing I was really trying to do was not like be negative for the sake of negative. And I saw at the time, and this is still something that I believe, I just don't necessarily have as much of a problem with it maybe as I used to, but that there's a portion of that that becomes a grift, right? Where you lean into it because it works in the algorithm and you're very negative because it'll work in the algorithm. And so what I saw then was like, oh no, like, if we let this culture war thing, which has just taken over like everything, right? I was like, if we let this into Star Wars, it's going to be so destructive because people won't actually be able to have nuanced conversation anymore. It'll be very much like politics and very like, you know, that sort of thing. And so what I was essentially trying to do with the Gray Order was like dark and light side, like balanced, like a place for like nuance, right? But what I, you know, kind of discovered after just a very short time with a bunch of folks was that that's not really what a lot of other people wanted. Like a lot of other people really wanted to just destroy the Phantom Menace or to take shots at the Phantom Menace. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, I was like, this is really not what I wanted to do, you know, with this. So I kind of walked away and I did the same. It was the same idea, I think, as to what you guys are doing with Geeks and Gamers, because I was like, I can't really control the Gray Order. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a thing that we wanted to have all these other folks and, you know, all these other people and opinions and things. I was like, I can't really control that. What I can control is Den of Nerds. You know what I mean? Like, I can control that. I can control the Nerd Vendors. Like, I can, that I'm comfortable asserting a level of authority and leadership for, and I know it's non-combative, right? I guess my question to you really with all this is, do you think we're in a better place now? Like, do you think that, because I know like you guys have learned, I feel like I've learned, I feel like a lot of other folks have learned, and I try to be charitable to people, right? Because there's great people like, you know, Star Wars Meg, she's one of our like mutual, you know, kind of, you know, friends or at least acquaintances. And she does a great job of acknowledging things, but being, you know, balanced. And, you know I have a lot of friends. We've talked about this before. We won't name names, so we don't want to put anybody's stuff out there. But I was like, Jay, you would be surprised at what so-and-so actually says to me in private conversations. But a lot of this, because it happens on social, it's so like, I don't know, like you can't say shit online sometimes, you know, like it, because they don't want to be thought of as a certain way. Like people don't even want to bring up sympathetic things, because that sympathy will be read as like not being an ally or whatever, right? So it's crazy, but do you think we're in a better spot now? Is the Star Wars fandom in a better place or what?
Better? Maybe it's just different. I think for a lot of us, we know where we want to just put our energy, and fighting on Twitter is not, I mean, that's like, what a waste of time. You know, it's like there's so many better things we could be doing and building and growing and things like that. So it's, you know, for my particular thing that I want to accomplish online and the stuff that we're building, it's like, where do we want our energy to go? So is it trying to heal a fandom that probably in the next generation or so will probably still argue, you know, about this or that of EU and Disney and George Lucas vision and things like that. It's just like, I know what I love about Star Wars and I always hold on to that, and I'll know what I don't like, and we'll just go from there. I can only speak for myself, but at least we can go from there. So right now, like, whatever culture war we might be in, it's just speaking out about the stuff that we find like either two-faced or just pushing propaganda or agenda or whatever, and just being like, what is going on with that, and questioning, asking questions, all this stuff. So it's just where you want to put your energy and what do you want to accomplish with the platform that you have. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, like I said, I just got to a point where I'm in charge of, like, of all things, a theme park channel, and that's where my energy is going to go. I go to Galaxy's Edge all the time. I go, like, so it's, you know, but that's just where I want to put my energy. Sure. And in my own channel, I love the podcast that I'm doing now and interviewing people and understanding, and it's about communication, and meeting people from all walks of life with different ideas and different perspectives of the world that we're living in today. Because I think it is important, like I said earlier, it's like, it's important to have those conversations and understand where so-and-so is coming from, where I'm coming from, where you're coming from. We're different age gaps. We live in different areas. We have a different perspective on life. We've done different things in our life. And I think it's a beautiful thing to understand, you know, how you see the world and how I see the world. And I think all that goes into fandom and the pop culture that we love and we don't love. So, yeah. It's relative.
Yeah. I probably tend to agree. It's just different. Although I would say, I actually do think it's a little bit better. Like, only because, you know, strangely, actually, because Rise was so bad. I think that Rise was so bad that I think a lot of, there were, like, let's say if like on the one end, you love sequel trilogy, like, love all of it, like, it can do no wrong, and then on the other hand you're like, every single frame of it is an abomination. I think there were a ton of folks kind of in the real, like, dead ass middle, right, where they were like, well, I like some of the stuff, I don't like some of the stuff. I think Rise was so bad, and then subsequently after Rise, when, like, more and more info is coming out just about, like, what they were doing or not doing, I think a large amount of those people that were in the middle shifted into actually having a not positive feeling about the sequels. And I think what that did was created a lot, like, I just feel like around the time of Rise, like before the Rise of Skywalker, for me personally, I felt like the Disney defenders and retractors were both, like, just ready to go. You know what I mean? Whereas now, although there are a lot of people that are still ready to go, I feel like there are a lot more there's a lot more of an acceptance of the idea and attitude that, like, man, the sequels were just not that great, right? But strangely enough, I feel like Star Wars as a brand has actually done worse since there. So it's almost like they've been on a tailspin. It's been slightly better for the fandom as far as discourse, because more people are just like, holy shit. Like, I see people I would have never imagined in a million years saying, like, yeah, Kathy should probably not handle these movies anymore, or things of that nature, right? Like, that's why I was telling Chaco, I was like, dude, I'm telling you right now, I'm paying attention to this shit. There are a bunch of people that I never, ever thought would espouse that belief that are now putting it on Twitter. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think we've shifted into a direction like that. There are still some pretty, like, crazy retractors, and then I think a lot of this stuff is still, like, culture war, you know, tied into or whatever, which I think a lot of folks have sort of lost their patience for. Like, for me personally, I really don't have a lot of energy for that shit anymore, you know, like, both ways. Like, the beta fet's funny to say, like, it's funny to say, but, like, people that are really, like, actually thinking that, like, Disney is specifically trying to make this character less masculine, I'm like, dude, like, that's not what's going on. It's just not great writing, in my opinion. And I think a lot of folks are sort of in that same camp where they're being more reasonable. You know, I wanted to know as a fan, because you said you're a big Star Wars fan and you're a big Marvel fan. This is kind of interesting. As a Star Wars fan, like, what do you want Disney to be doing? Because, like, you're not even watching Book of Boba, right? Like, you kind of, we talked about that. So, like, is there something you're looking for from Star Wars, or are you kind of just hands off for until, you know what I mean?
They had me back with The Mandalorian Season 2.
Okay.
As much as people, you know, we went through this, Hate the Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker was a joke. For me, it was laughable. And I'm only speaking for myself. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I'm kind of over it. Mandalorian Season 1 came out. And we're like, okay. I looked at it through the lens of a different eye than what I normally looked at Star Wars. Mm. Season 2 come out. I like seeing Ahsoka live action. And what I loved the most, and maybe for whatever reason, it was Carl Weathers, it was Gina Carano, it was several others from the show that actually reached out to fans, whether they liked it or didn't like, and just said, okay, I'll try to do better. All right. Like, when Carl Weathers directed his episode, he went on Twitter and interacted with people that hated it and loved it. Mm-hmm. And just was like so chill about it.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what I didn't see with the Rian Johnson crowd. I saw attack. And again, I'm just speaking for myself.
Yeah.
No one else. And I thought that was really pretty awesome. And then becoming really close friends with Gina Carano was a surprise. And, you know, and just seeing that, okay, like she's trying to reach out to people that, you know, possibly are going to try to give Star Wars a second chance. Carl Weathers did the same thing. And a few others did too. I can't remember. But anyway, they were just it was very chill on Twitter. And I was like, okay, this is what, I like this. Like, this is good. So Mando 2 happens. The Luke Skywalker scene happens. I was all in. You know, people were mad at me for being, I was like, hey, I like what I like. I don't like, whatever. You don't like it, then that's just too bad. And, you know, I was very vocal about it on my channel. Like, I love this. And then Pablo Hidalgo Star Wars Theory thing happened. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, that was a turd move. And then, you know, we move on forward. And then they fired Gina. Now, firing Gina is one thing. Okay, I get it. You let her go. You didn't want to bring her contract back. My biggest issue with that whole thing, probably even bigger, was when Lucasfilm employees came out on Twitter and said some of the most disgusting things about my friend. Like, and I have them all. I kept them all. And they've all deleted them since then. And they came out and I was just like, this is unbelievable to me. And so for me, it was like, this company is sick. Like, there's something wrong with this company. Luke, and I'm talking Lucasfilm. There's something wrong with some of the people in this company. Are there good people that work there? Absolutely. Have I had conversations with Gene about the amazing people that work there? Yeah, absolutely. But the treatment of her, it started with Theory, and I was just like, that kind of like was like, why would Pablo Hidalgo do that? You know what I mean? Like,
he has
what,
a history of doing that, to be honest with you. And just on a brief side note, you know, he's hit all sides. He has hit all sides.
Yeah,
agree. And I had some friends, like, because I went at him pretty hard too in that stream afterwards, and I had some people be like, dude, that's not like you. Like, what's up with that? I'm like, bro, you don't know. Like, I had a friend, I can't even really say too much about it, but let's just say, He has a big stick with his social media presence, and he either doesn't understand it or he doesn't care. And he's actually caused a lot of pain to a lot of different people over the years. And I was like, dude, fuck this dude. Yeah, for sure. And I was like, fuck this dude. And generally think he's not a good person and also not responsible on social media. Like, they're two negatives, well, possibly separated, but yeah.
What I saw was Luke Skywalker, Mando 2. I saw people that hated the sequels start to go, okay, this is amazing. I saw both sides of the fandom, almost not everybody, I get that. I saw a lot of people come together like I've never seen before in the Star Wars fandom on both sides of the coin talking about that was cool, man. Yeah. That wouldn't that be awesome to see something like that? That was all. And like, I agree with you on this. That was awesome. I agree with you. Okay. This is it. Okay. If they're going this route. Okay. And I was like, all right, like we've made a positive step together. And then he does this to Star Wars Theory, and it's like, you just destroyed any, like, all the goodwill that you possibly might have had, because what that did was set people fighting again.
Yep.
You know, it was like, oh, well, Theory's taking it too far, or this and that. And yeah. It's just like, okay, now we were like this, and now we're back to this. And it was just like, wow, way to throw away some amazing goodwill in a simple joke, you know, whether you're joking or whatever you were doing, whatever you think you were doing, sir, you just threw it away.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, and people on my side of the, you know, they were just like, see, I told y'all you can't be trying, you know, it just echoed louder. And then the whole thing with Gina happened. And I was just kind of like, you know, I'm just going to take a step back for some time. Like, I'm just going to take a step back. I am extremely happy for those that are enjoying Star Wars right now. I really am. I really am. Because I know when I enjoyed Star Wars, the joy that it gave me, I really am. I don't really talk about Star Wars much on my channel, but it is cool to see the people that maybe we used to fight with or whatever it was. They're enjoying something. Everybody's kind of like being chill about it. There are a few here and a few there that, you know, they're respecting other people's opinion. And so that to me, that's nice to see. So, but for me, it's more like the company is just, to me, there's parts of the company that is just kind of sick. And I'm just taking a step back. Yeah. While I do enjoy watching. So I watch, you know, Meg in Theory, and like, I watch people's reviews of the show just to kind of keep up.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't have Disney Plus, and which kind of, I haven't, the last Marvel show that I saw was the, like, I went through WandaVision, and then I got the first three episodes of Loki. And that's it. I haven't seen anything since that. But I try to keep up by watching people's, you know, review videos and stuff like that. But my Disney Plus ended, and I just didn't renew. So it's just a personal decision. I don't tell anyone to boycott. There are many people that show up in my stream that love the show, that are subscribed to my channel. And I just, no hate, no nothing. It's a personal decision. For right now, I'm not. Can it be like that tomorrow? I don't know, but it is like that today.
So is there anything that could bring you back, or is like, I guess, you know, I don't even know if you can answer this, but it seems as though Gina likely is not returning to Star Wars. Is that fair to say? You think there could be a chance out there in the ether that she actually would return?
Anything's possible.
So if she did return, would that solve some of your personal issues with it, or what do you think? No.
That would be a start in the right direction.
Yeah.
Honestly, it just was like, this is all I'm saying. We were talking about, you know, they want diversity and equal and women and all the check boxes they want. Mm-hmm. They let Gina go. The first thing that Freddie Prinze Jr. does, who's not a part of Lucasfilm, but he does voice, Kanan. You know, Rebel. And he was in, I guess he voiced the same character in Bad Batch. Mm-hmm. He puts on his Twitter, a guy slapping a girl and pointing it to Gina saying, bye, you know, mm-hmm. like, bye, girl. And like a guy slapping a girl. Mm-hmm. People from Lucasfilm liked it, retweeted it, and I'm like, really? Like, yeah. Did you really have to go that far? I get it. You let her go. You don't want to handle what she's saying on social media. Okay, that's one thing. But it was like all these things, people that I respected in the company were just coming out saying she was this, she was that, she's this, she's that. You know, and then I was. My email was blowing up from people saying, this is your fault. She was fine. Like, I was getting hate mail. and all kinds of stuff saying she should have never went on your channel. This is your fault. She shouldn't be your friend. This, it was brutal, man. It was brutal. And so, you know, like all that stuff just kind of, it just, I don't like that kind of behavior. You preach one thing and you do something else. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. The whole thing on social
media. That's all I'm saying. Just taking a step back and, you know, for whatever it's worth, it's just like that could be today, tomorrow. I don't know what they could do. It's just maybe more. I just decide like, okay, they're making strides. They're doing this and let's just see what it's all about.
Right.
So, right. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, I get what you're saying, man. The social media signaling is so weird for me. I feel like I'm in a rare position that I get triggered by all of it on all sides. So, like, I'm just constantly triggered, dude. Like, I literally, like you know, like, as for instance, with Boba Fett, right? Like, people that will, like, I think, was it Robot Head or something like that? Homie,
a good friend of mine.
Yeah, so here's about your good friend, bud. So
I know he's going off.
No, it's all good. But here's my point: it's like, so he makes a gif about the homie like doing the Bantha thing, right? And I'm like, and like just being real, like that triggers me because I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? It's like 1 second of the thing, right? But then I've got other people on the other side that are like, if you thought the Vespas were dumb, you've clearly never watched Star Wars. And I'm like, that triggers me too. I literally want to slap both of you. Like all of it.
Yeah.
But then I had to realize, bro, like a lot of that's me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like these people are just, they're playing the game. They're doing their thing. They're trying to get their likes, their retweets, their social currency. And, you know, I may not like it or whatever, but it's a part of the game. And like, I was just watching something on it was funny. There's a real tangent. There was a marketing dude that I was watching that recommended a Logan Paul podcast. And I watched this Logan Paul podcast. And in this podcast, he sort of like pulls back a little bit of the show. And he basically talks about how he's banking on the fact that people out there, that little dopamine hit of like clowning on him on Twitter or like being like, oh, I can't believe he did this shit. He's so dumb. He's literally banking on that never going away, people never being able to resist it, and it feeds and fuels his brand. Now, that's an unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, it's a reality, right? But like the more I thought about that, the more like if you think about the Freddie Prinze Jr. shit with Gina, how much of that is like, does he really feel that way? If you sat down at a conversation with him, would he actually would you come away from a conversation with him feeling the same way that you did looking at the tweet? You know what I mean? So like for me, man, like I've sort of gotten to a place where I really, really try and I'm not perfect. But and weirdly enough, the NFT shit's driving me crazy. Like people that like are hating on NFT, bro. Like it's like the worst, bro. Like I'm like every day I see that shit, I'm like I'm ready to go. But I'm like, you know, practice your principles. You know, don't engage. But for me personally, I'm like I really try to let more shit go and realize that it's just people kind of doing the thing, you know. And when it's somebody you care about, like with you and Gina, like obviously that shit's gonna sting. And for sure, people were super fucking inappropriate about it. There were a bunch of like that whole situation. Like we don't have to go deep on it, but the misrepresentation. Even didn't Disney themselves in the PR statement say she said heinous and horrible shit? Like that is at the very like at the very least debatable. Right? Debatable. I think if you're being like an intellectually honest person, it's simply not true. You could make the argument that she was, you know, poking the bear. You could make the argument she was doing something that's ill-advised if you want a career in Hollywood. All that shit's fair. But like to say she was being hateful, like, bro, like the find me a person that knew her that would, you know what I'm saying? Like it's weird, well, right?
People from The Mandalorian are saying she was the most kindest person.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito, he's very left, you know.
Yeah, but I was about to say totally different sides of the political spectrum. The other thing is too is I have access, and I get to hear straight from Gina's mouth probably a lot of stuff that other people don't get to hear. So I guess during that time it was a lot more personal for me. And so, but now, you know, the thing that I'm happy with is she's happy. She's very happy if anybody's curious. She's very happy in what she's doing and she just loves this new role that she's in. directing and looking over scripts and trying to find, like, she just loves it. She loves it. And every time I talk to her, she's just very happy. Like, she's just happy. So, like, that, at the end of the day, isn't that what you just want for everyone? Like, you know, I want Josh to be happy.
Thanks.
You know, I, like, at the end of the day, I might not agree with half the stuff you say, but at the end of the day, I want you happy. At least me.
Yeah.
I want you happy. These people that are on, you know, and like you said, like, I've also learned too, my original Twitter got nuked. And I think that might have been the best thing to happen to me.
Wow.
The original Drunk 3PO Twitter, I was closing in on almost 30,000 followers, and like, I could throw out anything.
That's
and
some
it
juice.
Would be yeah. 300, you know, likes and retweets. It didn't matter what I put out. I was joking around my friends. I was like, watch this. I'm gonna put out a smiling face emoji and not say nothing. I bet I get 500 likes. Sure enough, boom, 500 likes. Already, so I was like, I was firing. Then Twitter just nuked it because I would post this Wham music song, and
they apparently or some shit.
Yeah, they did. What? They were like, you can't be playing music, and it was stupid. Yeah. It was really stupid. So anyway, and it was gone. So all those years of having it, but you know what? I took before I created a new account, I was like, let me just not even go on. For, you know, I think I took 2 months off and just realized, you know, Twitter's not real life. Mm-hmm. People will, like you said, people will do their best to get, they'll say the most stupidest things to try to get attention at times, start fights for whatever, you know, and if you just kind of like just do your own thing, and I use it now more for promotional and just joking around, you know, like every now and then it's just like people need to laugh. We don't laugh anymore.
Yeah.
We don't laugh together. Forever.
We don't laugh.
We don't laugh together. And that's a big one. Yeah.
And we can't laugh at ourselves a lot too. I've noticed, like, that's kind of the thing is like, I don't know what the deal is with, like, you know, some of my success, but I think some of it might have to do with, the fact that I don't really take myself that seriously, and that I can really, I make fun of myself a lot, you know what I mean? Especially in streams and whatnot. And I have a really sort of laissez-faire kind of more fun, attitude about it. And I've also noticed, and this is just kind of like a little tangent ADD thought for me personally, I had a moment where, when I started streaming, I was a little bit more like off the cuff and a little bit more just like, you know, having fun in the shit. And I noticed I would say a lot more like ridiculous stuff, and people would get like a little upset about it. And I remember when I started to make this shift, I had a lot of people that were like, Josh, I don't like this new content. I don't like this direction. I've always loved your videos. I don't like you getting out there being wild, telling people to shut up, you know, like all these different things and all that. Right. And I realized, I was like, wow, like, this is so crazy. Maybe some of this is what's happening over with, you know, Geeks and Gamers, where, like, you know, cause we know Ryan, and like, Ryan gets charged up, you know what I mean? Like, when he goes to do a video, like, he's charged up, like, he's like ready to attack, you know, his cadence, his like, you know, nonverbal cues, like everything. It's like very, very like aggressive. But like, if you're just in your zone and that's your sort of go-to performance zone, because it's, some of this is a performance, you can't necessarily be held completely accountable for everything you say while you're performing. You know what I mean? And for me, I found like a real sort of empathetic connection to some of the stuff that you guys do, where it's like, oh man, like, you can get held accountable for something that was literally, whether it was a joke or not, it was something that just flew out, you know, in a sort of natural space. And then it becomes like the report card for you forever. And so I don't know, man, like with this whole situation, and hopefully like just through this conversation, when people listen to it and stuff, like, we can maybe get to a place where it's not so combative, and, we can acknowledge that those are like human beings on the other side.
When it comes to Jeremy and Ryan, Jeremy will talk to anyone that will reach out to him and say, hey, look, can I ask you a question? He, as busy as this man is running the business, you know, in charge of several channels, websites, emails, promotion. I mean, he still takes the time for people that hate him to talk to them and let them, you know, tries to help them figure out what Geeks and Gamers is all about. Ryan is the same way. Judging Ryan or Jeremy from their Twitter or certain videos and their takes is, I'm speaking for them, but they can speak for themselves, you know,
because like,
I hung out with these people and right. I've broke bread with these people and I've talked to these people and I talk to them on a regular basis and just knowing the kind of people they are. And listen, I don't agree with either one of them on certain things. And you think they're going to be like, well, you're no longer welcome. Like, it's the furthest from the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and it's we're all just finding our place at Geeks and Gamers and what we're doing. And it's the machine is just moving so good right now. And, you know, again, I run a theme park channel of all things. Jeremy, whatever. People are like, Jeremy, this is Disney so much. Yeah, you're always at Disney World. Yeah, well, it's a theme park channel. I'm going to be at Disney World. I like going to theme parks.
He likes Disney, I thought, right?
He likes going to theme parks.
Yeah, he likes the brand, like Mickey and Walt and the whole idea. He's just
So I'm always there. But my audience, it's interesting, on park hopping, you know, they don't necessarily watch the main channel. You know, they're just interested in the theme park. So it's like, and then there's a sports channel over there. And it's like, that's a different audience than watches the video game channel. And it's just, you know, it's just all these components, you know, put together. But if you take time to know them, like they really would. They'll talk. Yeah. They talk to anyone. And that's just me speaking for them. If people have an issue with them or whatever, like they can reach out on their own.
Yeah.
100%. I don't want to be the middleman, but it's just... I'm very happy and pleased to be a part of that.
It's tough for me because, you know, like I want to push back a little bit, but they're not really here to defend themselves. So I can't you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go like that.
They do that to me all the time. They bring me on. They're like, let me talk to you about Jeremy. I was like, I'm not Jeremy.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me talk to you about Ryan. I'm not Ryan.
Yeah. I'll just say one thing. And to be honest, like, again, like, it's not, this isn't really to denigrate them or to, like, make it a thing.
I'll speak your mind.
My thing is, you know, I hear that a lot from people that defend the guys that, like, they're really good dudes. And it's like, it's what you see on social media is just a small part of, you know, who they are. And actually, Ryan, when I first was talking to Ryan for the hater stream, where, you know, Jeremy and I sat down, that was something he had repeated like over and over again. He's like, well, Jeremy's not bringing his persona. He's going to just be him. Like, he's not, like, that's not really him. And when I brought this up to Jeremy live to his face, he said, that's not true. There's one Jeremy. This is me. So, like, in a conversation that I had with him live, that idea that everybody that I know that keeps saying that about him to defend that, he told me that was not true to my face live. You know what I mean? So,
well, what I'm not saying he's a different person. I'm just saying you judging someone from a YouTube video or a Twitter is a small percentage of who that person really is. There's so much more to who he is than him, you know, in a 5-minute video on YouTube. That's where I was going. He is the same person. He believes the same thing. He believes what he's preaching. He's very, you know, him and Ryan both, they don't sugarcoat their feelings.
Yeah.
And they're very open about it no matter where they are. The thing is that there's so much more to the man, to them both. There's so much more to Geeks and Gamers than what people look at if they just see a video from Jeremy on one of the channels.
Sure.
That's where I was going with that. I wasn't saying he's an actor. He plays like that's not
true
at all.
Right.
So it's just like me. Most people don't realize I spent 15 years of my life outside of the country building orphanages.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, what? Like, yeah, it's like I spent so much time in Haiti. I learned the language. You know, it's like I did all this stuff. The YouTube thing just was just a hobby. Mm-hmm. It just turned into something, you know, I can't believe it. Like, I never, you know, this wasn't intended. Put it that way. I didn't sit down and say, I'm going to start a channel. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be that. It was just, it was a hobby, you know, and then it turned into a hobby that paid a little extra money. It took me out to dinner.
Yeah.
you know, and then now, you know, I still have my full time. I still have my job. So it's like YouTube is not my full time job.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I think
most people don't know that. They just think, oh, Jay makes videos. This is what he does for a living. You know, it's like, go do something else. Get a real job. It's like, yeah, I have a real job.
I don't.
I have a real life outside the cameras that, people, you know, most people don't even realize. So, yeah,
no. And I mean, look, to just be, supportive of that idea, like I 100% feel you there. Like, I think having empathy for people as a human being, I think is super important. And knowing that, yeah, like what a person puts out, you know, as far as their online presence is not the whole story of the human. Like, I do wish that was more out there and that was a belief that was understood. I think that because a lot of these conversations that we're even sort of referencing happen online, it's very difficult to remove the online persona because it's just a click away, right? And it is sort of the space in which the conversations are happening. So I don't know how actually possible it is, but for me personally, I do know that, and it's not just with people on like this, to me has gone actually much further beyond even people like within Phantom Menace or people that make certain types of content. Like, I have a lot of friends even within the space of like just making nerdy stuff, right? And I've kind of like come into a place now where, as opposed to being super like judgmental or competitive or whatever about, you know, different folks, I'm like, I'm actually just happy that these human beings are like, you know, creating and using that skill to entertain people and to have a good life and like forge ahead on all that. Cause like, I'm friends with all kinds of different folks. And I just, for me personally, I've gotten to a place more where I'm like, nah, man, like, you know, do what you got to do. Like, even Ryan, like, I totally understand it. I get it. And he's killing the game. Like, he's sort of establishing that like Jim Rome kind of persona out there. Right. And it's like, even if it's not my flavor, even if it's not something that I'm like, you know, feeling all that much, I'm still seeing the grind, the hustle. And I'm like, yeah. And he's a human being that in the world, like in this crazy world where you have to basically come out and contribute to society, make something back for yourself and your family. This is a person that's able to do that, execute and put together principles to do it. I admire that. You know what I mean? I really do. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of the fairest way I can put it. Again, like, they're not here to really take my like what about this, you know, kind of situation, so we don't even have to go there. But I wanted to know about the rebellion, sir, your hat, this line of stuff, and what's the deal with the rebellion? What's the deal?
Gina did an interview on the Daily Wire, and she's like, you know, if we don't like what Hollywood or comics or whatever television shows are being pushed out, then maybe we just need to do our own stuff. And then she ended it with like, welcome to the rebellion. I called her after that interview and I said, you know, people want to support you, so would you mind if I made a Welcome to Rebellion shirt and I'll give all the money away? I just know people wanted to support you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, just keep the money. I was like, no, I don't want to profit off, like, you know, I didn't want to profit off of, you know, her being fired, which everyone accused me of anyway, but it's okay. So we made a simple shirt I put on Teespring, a Teespring store. It just said, welcome to the rebellion, no big deal. And that's all I was pushing. It was like, rebel against your fears, rebel against, like, whatever's going on that's keeping you from your dream or your passion, rebel against it and get to work. You know, let's go. You know, you want to write a book, go write a book. Like, take some time out of your day. You want to get a better job, then let's just, how do you get there? You know, what's the line? What do you have to shake off? What are you afraid of? What, you know, like, what's going on in your world? And so, like, that was like the whole thing. It started that way. Well, Disney reached out to Teespring and Lucasfilm got the store taken down because of that slogan. So then I went to TeePublic and put it up there, and Lucasfilm sent them a letter and they took the store down again. So then I was like, okay, they don't own the rights to those words. They don't own the rights to it. So then TeePublic was like, you know, you're right. They can't do anything. So they put it back up. So I sold a ton of shirts. I thought I was going to sell like maybe 100. We sold thousands from that little, like, people I didn't even know just bought them. Mm-hmm. And we gave away thousands of dollars. And my YouTube members all know this because every month I was like, here's what came in and here's where it's going. And I let them pick the charity, you know, from Feed America to you know, helping this, helping that. We helped, one of the cool stories was there's a mom who lost a baby at childbirth and she couldn't afford a funeral or a tombstone and like that. So we sent that money over there and she was able to, you know, to find some closure in her life. So we did a lot of cool stuff with that. And then it just kind of picked up to a place of a podcast where I was like, I want to interview people that shook off their fears, that rebelled against their fears, rebelled against their doubts, rebelled. Because listen, let's be honest. The last 2 years, a lot of people are afraid. You know, they don't know what to believe. We were locked in our homes. We were this and we can go through that whole thing. But everybody knows what I'm talking about. So a lot of people didn't know, you know, what they just got afraid of life, you know, and afraid of chasing their dreams and afraid of pursuing a passion. And so I just started this podcast interviewing people saying, what did you do? How'd you make it work? It's simple. That's like, there's nothing to it. It's just, you're doing something that you love to do. And it didn't matter if they were really popular or not, you know, if they had a big following or not. There's people that were just living. Like, I brought artists on and people that crochet, people that are doing well on social media, people that are doing well on Twitch, people that are doing well writing books or comic books. And it's just, like, what did you rebel against to get to that dream? And it's just worked out wonderfully. Nine Line Apparel, through Ryan and our friend John Bartolo, the John Bartolo podcast, they reached out and they were just like, we love what this stands for. Can we make a shirt and a hat and all this stuff? And a lot of the money went to help veterans because they took a good chunk of that money that was made to put into they build transitional homes for veterans that are down on their luck or whatever. This just went through something and they need help. So it's like assistant home. So I was like, that's what I want to do. So I want to, if we can sell shirts, I want to help people in the process. So we did that. And like, we broke all kinds of sales records and they flew me into Georgia to see like the homes that were being built with it was so cool.
Dude, yeah,
and I was just like, it was like, we took something from, you know, just like, let's support Gina to something bigger than that. And, you know, she freaking loves what's happening with it. And people are getting on board and, you know, they're just like, yeah, there are some things in my life I need to rebel against too. And it's not like rebel against the government. It's more of a personal thing of what's keeping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Hmm. You know, like, what is it? Like people, I truly believe, and this could fall for you or anyone else, I truly believe that when we were growing up or whenever we were younger, maybe this didn't happen to everybody, that someone lied to you. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not, you can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And along those times, we believe that lie. Well, I guess I'm ugly. So I'm ugly and I'm just going to set my expectations low. Okay, I guess I'm not smart enough because someone told me that and I believed it. I took a lie and believed the truth and now it's resonating within me and now I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing and my life is kind of mediocre because of whatever. And it's not, and it's getting to that point of understanding who you are as a person and going, no, I am good enough. You know, I can do this. I can, you know, write that book. I can write that song. I can go after that job. I can start that diet and feel better about myself. I can do this. But it's like getting to that point of understanding what is holding you back from doing that. You know, one of the greatest inspirations I ever heard was there is a place that we all know that has the biggest realm of cured diseases, amazing novels, amazing films, painting, creativity, and it is filled with that, and that place is the graveyard. And people just took these amazing ideas with them to the grave because for some reason they believed a lie that they weren't good enough to create it, or they felt that there was too many excuses or circumstances to create it that they took it with them to the grave. And I was like, I will hold on to that till I die. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna live a life that I want to live, and and try things that I'll probably fail at, which is okay, and not and be rejected at, and try to do things and live this life. And because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to go to the grave and go, man, I had this idea. Yeah. I just didn't do it, you know? And, you know, so now, and after being locked in my home for however long people were locked, or at least for me, I was in Florida. It was like, felt like 3 weeks. It really opened my eyes to a lot of, yeah, some people it was a few months, but for me, it was like 3 weeks, but yeah, still, yeah. It just opened my eyes to like, I don't want to sit around and wait,
yeah.
You know, for it to fall in my lap. It's like, you know, I don't know how long my YouTube channel is. Who's going to watch me, you know, 10 years from now? I don't know. More people, less people. So there's other things I want to accomplish. Like there's a whole universe that I'm creating myself in a book series that I've been working on for 3 years. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm going to put my energy in and that I'm going to do. And I'm not going to let people say, Jay, you're too old, you're too young, you're white, you're this, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're not good enough, you don't speak English well enough, you this or that. Like, I'm not going to let any of that stuff tell me otherwise. You know, it's and I'm going to live that way as an example. And that's what, like, the rebellion is all about. I'm going to rebel against you controlling my life. And it's not supposed to be, you know, like, it's rebelling like that. It's not like an over, you know, I'm not going to listen to authority and I'm not going to listen. It's not that at all. It's not that. It's completely a personal decision to say, yeah, there's something I want to do. I'm not going to let my fear. Basically, I'm not going to let my fears keep me from trying, at least trying. Whether I succeed or not, that's let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it a shot so I don't look back and go, man, I should have, would have, could have, you know, like that whole thing. And so I've been enjoying that run. I've just been enjoying meeting people and hearing people and seeing people get excited again and getting emails from people saying, hey, I just started my book. Hey, I just started this. Hey, you know, so there you have it.
Well, it's funny because, so I literally had it written down here that I was like, I'm never buying any of your shit, Jay. What does that make me? You know what I mean? I had that written down there. But after hearing that, the nice thing, I might actually buy some of that merch now. You know what I mean? And support the cause.
Well, there's only one day left to get it, so.
What do you mean? Like today? The last day?
Today's the last day for the 9-line merch, yeah.
And then it's gone?
We weren't going to. And then it's gone forever.
I really wish I would have heard that very positive, awesome affirmation speech way before, because I thought it was some weird, like, you know, anti-establishment kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know, it can't be. Well, thanks, bud.
Some people might take it that way, but that's not, if you listen to our podcast and what I constantly say, that's the speech. I've met enough people that have been, that are scared that, and hey, it's okay. Everyone has their fears, whatever it is. And you know, I don't have enough money. I'm too old. I'm too this, I'm too that. I'm not smart enough. I don't have a big following. It's like, yeah, okay, just do it. I started a YouTube channel with the iPhone 8 and a fake and a real mic that wasn't plugged in, and I held it. I didn't know what I was doing. And look where it's taken me.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's like, I didn't go into YouTube thinking I'm going to be the next Josh from Den of Nerds or Star Wars. Like, I didn't go into that. I just went to it cause it was a hobby. I enjoyed it. You know, and here I am.
Yeah.
You know, now I have a podcast.
It's dope.
And I hang out with celebrities. Who thinks they fly me all over the world? Like there it is. What it's weird.
That's dope, so, dude.
But at the end of all that, I will say this, the this year, like every year we've done, at least in my fellowship, my Drunk 3PO fellowship, we've taken on different projects. I use a lot of the YouTube money and membership money to do things. So last year we finished an orphanage in El Salvador. This year we're going to build a special needs home in Mexico. I was out in Mexico late last year. Looking at the land and seeing the kids that need help and all that stuff. So we're going to try to do $50,000. Last year we came together with almost 70,000 and got it done. And so this year it's about 50,000. So it's a lot of cool stuff that comes with all this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's dope, dude. I'll try that's to grab some today if I can get my hands on any of the merch. That's pretty cool. I want to shift radically for the last part. I want to talk about theme parks, but also like the world that we live in, bro, is so weird. Not just like with all the, you know, political, you know, and craziness like that, but also like technologically. And I think that, you know, Rona and like locking everybody up, you know, it accelerated, in my opinion, a lot of things that were already going to happen, like, you know, theater stuff, digital stuff, work from home, et cetera, et cetera. I guess I'm wondering, man, like, because this is, you like theme parks. Like, you like going to theme parks. Yeah, so it's not like you're going around to theme parks trying to, like, clown on them or say why they're worthless. I've seen you even get into arguments with people that are so anti-Disney, they can't even appreciate anything from the parks, and you're like, no, like, it's cool. So I guess, like, where do you see theme parks going, bro? Because theme parks are not having a good go of it right now in a post-corona world, or I guess still, you know, Rona world or whatever. Like, what do you think's happening to theme parks? Are they going to shift? Are they going to do something to get people to come back? What do you think?
Yeah, so this past Christmas, we saw the largest number of people come to Florida and visit theme parks in years. Wow. Like, even before the lockdowns. So people are definitely wanting to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is the Disney theme parks are hurting themselves because whoever is in charge now, which I think is Chapek, they are doubling their cost and giving us so much less.
Doubling the price.
Yeah. So parking was 22. Now it's like almost 40, and it goes on and on. So, you know, to get into the, almost doubled, and you're getting less of a less perks or whatever.
The
and
value so people, back's not as good. Yeah.
People saw that. I mean, look at the Galactic Star Cruiser. It's kind of expensive, and, you know? And so all that stuff I was at Galaxy's Edge, as you know, I text people saying, hey, if you want me to pick up something for you, I do it for everyone. It's just, I'm just a nice guy. So whatever. And they have run out of lightsabers at Galaxy's Edge.
Wow.
And they can't sell lightsabers. So, and they ran out of cases. They're giving out plastic bag as cases. So long story short, this traveler, this really popular website did a poll saying everybody went to Disney. You know, it's like super packed. And would you go back next year? And they're like, nah, it's too expensive. We're going to go somewhere else. Universal Studios set records this past Christmas of people influx. And they actually they set records of people buying return trips for later this year. Because they were offering such a deal around Christmas. They're like, you can pay for it now and come back in, you know, May or June. And so their numbers have exploded here in Orlando. That Universal Studios is like the spot to be. They have the Harry Potter world and, you know, all kinds of
Marvel
like
stuff
that.
Down there too, right?
Yeah, it's so weird. The Marvel stuff is at Universal. So that's the only place in the world you can get Marvel, official Marvel stuff without Disney's name on it.
Yep.
So people are buying that just because they think that's cool, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
and it might end up, as a collector, I mean, it might end up being kind of a nice little buy.
If they get rid of, if Disney ever, if there's some weird contract where Disney can kind of pull it out, but it's
I've heard it's really tricky that like
it's an iffy
Universal
would probably accept a buyout or something like that, but I mean, listen, we have Legoland here, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, we have so many theme parks around here, and the theme park community they fight worse than the Star Wars fandom. If you thought like back in the day, the Phantom Menace and the Last Jedi lovers and people in the middle and all that fought bad, it doesn't even compare to what I'm seeing in this theme park. And people laugh at that. I'm like, I'm telling you, man, it is
savage out there for the theme park people.
To each other, and they're like, you shouldn't be here today. Like, this is we're here today recording, not you. I mean, it's just like, wow. So it's comical. I get into fights with people all the time. I don't start nothing. I don't anything, but it's like, let me give you an example. We went to last Christmas, Disney started opening up different things and they decorated one of their rides at their Epcot station. And everybody all the theme park vloggers wanted to be there first to get it on their channel. You know how it goes. If you're not first, you're last in this YouTube world. So I was there. There's about 35 other theme park vloggers, and they were all talking to each other. And I'm park hopping's kind of new. So I know two of the people real well. And they were like, oh, hey, Jay, what's up? And we're talking, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, are you part of the Facebook group? And I was like, no, I'm not. And they're like, hey, after the ride, we'll get together and link you up. It's a private Facebook group just for us, just for some of us vloggers. And we get like the inside scoop on stuff. So I'm like, okay. Hey, I'm one of them. Hey, whatever. When it was all said and done, somebody met me when we got off the ride. The whole group of people went out and they kind of bundled up and were talking. I went over there. Some guy met me. He put his hand up. He's like, hey, man, we talked about it and we think you just won't fit in. Like, it's probably not for you. Maybe you should just do your, good luck. But I don't think you're going to fit in our group. And I was like, man, it's like junior high lunch all over again.
PTSD. You were like, no, I want to sit at the cool kids table.
Yeah, I was like, I don't fit in. And I'm like, wow. So I remember I called Jeremy. I was like, dude, you're not going to believe. Like, I got rejected by these people.
They wouldn't let me sit at their lunch table.
Just like, these, and here's the thing, too. It's like people talk about negative content gets the views. Well, in the theme park world, the positive content gets the views. Mm. You can't be negative like over in that world because people won't watch. They want to see you at Disney World, at the Magic Kingdom going, yeah, everything is all happy. Look at this. Look at this ice cream. It's beautiful. I don't care if it's $3,000. You're going to want it. Look at this little plushie that's new. I'm going to take it home, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's like, so you have that. So that's whenever time people say, oh, you use negative views for clicks. I'm like, man, I see a whole world that's complete opposite.
Sure.
You know, and they're getting hundreds of thousands of views for like holding up a plushie saying how cute it is. Mm-hmm. Then you have the theme park resellers. So like Disney just offered a Figment. It's a little dragon popcorn bucket for $25.
They're flipping it.
It was like thousands of people showed up and waited 7 hours, 5 to 7 hours in line to get a bucket.
Yeah.
To resell on eBay for between $8,000 and $1,000.
That's wild.
And these people fight with people. Like, they will. I mean, it is the most ugliest thing you'll see. They're like, "This is my spot in line." They argue with the cast member. They want as many of those things as possible.
Collectors are crazy, dude. Like at Comic Cons, it's the same way, bro. Like, you know, if you got like exclusive Comic Con stuff, and there's like a line at the booth and stuff, like you'll see people. Everybody goes to Karen. Like everybody's like, "You better."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah.
You know, and so here I show up, you know, and it's just, I don't care. I think it's like, to me, I'm like, these people are dumb. But I mean, hey, that's how they make a living. You know, like, I get it. But it's you just watching people fight and curse each other out. And then I'm like, oh, I wish you would say something to me, because mm-hmm. you're wearing a nice pink shirt and a top hat and you're just thinking you're so happy. And here I come, you know, I'm dressed in black saying, ride this. It's like, it's amazing, because that channel has exploded now. We're almost at 12,000 subscribers in what little time. And because at least, you know, we try to be honest with mm-hmm. what's good and what's not good and, you know, things like that. So,
you think theme parks would be okay? Like, you think that, because like my thing is, you think they're going to be okay? Okay, because like I would just say, like, you know, in that December thing that you were talking about, I was in New York City in October, and it was a similar thing. I've actually never seen Times Square that busy ever. I was like, dude, this is crazy. And I like New York. I used to live in Philly and go there quite a bit. And it's like, I think some of that is a little bit of like, we need to get out. I don't know how much of that will stay once things, hopefully, you know what I mean, go in a normal direction. So I just don't know.
This will be the year to see, honestly. But last year, Universal set all kinds of records with their Halloween Horror Nights, Christmas. And it's still, normally this time of year, like these next 2 weeks, the theme parks are supposed to be empty because everyone's back at school, back at work, back at this. They're just as packed as they were. You know, I was at Galaxy's Edge on Friday, and you're talking 3 hour wait for the rides, you know? And it's like, why are all these people still here? So they're still going, paying, you know, and, you know, paying for a lot of extra stuff. So there's a lot of money that's rolling in. Like I said, I think it'll be interesting to see if it rolls into this year.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'll tell you one thing though, man. Going to the theme parks. So Florida's like, I don't know what you, free state, maybe. Like, we don't have mask requirements and things like that. So, and the theme parks opened when a lot of people were still in lockdown.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I remember going, it's so weird. I'm so glad we have video of, like, you know, like a vlog of this. Because it's like, I went to the Magic Kingdom. The most visited spot in all America for every year since it opened is the Magic Kingdom. People want a picture in front of that Cinderella castle.
Yeah.
It's the most photographed. Anyway, whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember going there and it's like, there was six people in the park.
That's wild.
And I'm like, it's empty. Like, I'm walking, you see nobody. And you're like, is it even open? You know, mm-hmm. it's like, you walk on, you get on a ride by yourself. Mm. And I'm riding it by myself. You get off and the cast member looks at you like, you want to go again? There's no one in line. So you just ride it like five times. Yeah, and I'm like, all right, I think I've had enough. And then it's like, it was crazy to see. And now it's like, you know, the same ride. It's like 3 hour wait. To get on it. But I love visiting theme parks. I don't know what it was. That's why I moved to Orlando so I could go.
You know, I almost moved to Orlando before the Pandy. I was like, I had a really nice trip down there. I always have liked going down there. And I was just like, you know, this is kind of like a cool, chill vibe. And, you know, like I like the taxes and stuff like that too. So I was like literally about to move down there. And, you know, then the Pandy happened and sort of switched around my thinking about things just a little bit. But, I don't know, man. I like theme parks. I like going out and having, like, you know, cool experiences. Like, I definitely do. But I think a lot of industries, and I'm wondering if, like, the theme park industry is one of these industries, they're not acknowledging the new sort of appetite that's created by things like Twitter, TikTok, social media, YouTube. And what I mean is, like, if you're on a ride in Disney and you would rather watch a YouTube video or check out what's going on Twitter, then the ride fucked up. Not like you, like the ride. And I just wonder, like, how much are these companies, like, trying to do something that actually pushes, like, that forward, that creates, like, an experience? Like, I remember when Avatar first came out, it was, like, the movie. It was sold as an experience. It wasn't sold as a movie. It was like, yo, 3D, James Cameron, like, this is going to change shit. And, like, that was crazy. But I don't really see much of that happening anymore. And I wonder, is, like, are they just resting on their laurels? Like, as different types of industry, you know, are changing, is this going to be an industry that ultimately just kind of diminishes forever, you know?
If people still show up, and pay the money, I don't know how that will work. They're constantly, like, right now, Disney's like, they shut down. They're about to open up some Marvel stuff in their parks. They got to, like, all this new thing. And if people are waiting 8 hours for a freaking popcorn bucket,
they're going to wait.
Day. You know, and it's just like, I got one, you know, it's like they were putting it all over their YouTube and it was like a celebrate. Like, they would get in line, people would go out, bring them food and they'd stay in line. I wouldn't do it. Like, that's bizarre behavior, but they definitely, the Disney theme park culture definitely has this hardcore fan base.
Sure.
I mean, you could go on Instagram or TikTok. If you look, these people dress up just to go in front of that castle, take these amazing pictures early in the morning before it, like, a lot of people show up, and this generate this whole Disney, you know, life.
It's a vibe, you know, it's a vibe online. Like, I get
really
it.
Something, man. I think it'll be if America opens up, it'll be interesting to see, because I believe a lot of people came to Florida because they wanted to taste a little.
It was one place they could go.
It was like, you can go here. No one was asked. Like, in New York, they asked for certain passports and, like, stuff like that. They don't have any of that stuff here. And, you know, there's no mask or anything. So I think people were just wanted to feel normal. Maybe that's why they all came down, because, I mean, we were, like I said, for the Orlando economy and everything, like, all the hotels were booked up. That's never happened. People couldn't even get a room. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens
this
year. So yeah. I wish a lot of people would leave so I can go back, not wait so long. It is what it is. No complaints.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I love it, man. I love it. I love seeing people excited. I love, like, it's a unique place to live where friends from all over have come to visit me because they want to go and you can be their tour guide. And I know people that work inside the Galactic Star Cruiser. They've sent me pictures. They've sent me places. I have people that work at Universal, and like, I get to take people backstage and let them see things. And it's really cool, you know, to see how it all works. You know?
I like the vibe.
Photos on my Instagram where they have let me stay at Galaxy's Edge after the park closes to take pictures and videos, and there's not a soul around. It looks beautiful. The Falcon looks beautiful at night.
Oh yeah.
You know, and everyone's like, "How do you get this?" Like, I'm not a jerk and people like me and they let me hang out, you know? And so it's stuff like that. So
yeah, I like the vibe a lot too. Like, that's one of the things down there was like, man, I like people coming down to have fun and the touristy scene. I also like the local scene, you know, it's a very like Latina heavy scene. It's very chill. There's a lot of like immigrants that go there to work, you know, in the different sectors of whether it's restaurant, Ubers or whatever. So it's like really, it's a chill vibe. Like, I like Orlando a lot. But let's shift. Last thing I want to talk about, and then I'll let you get out of here. I want to talk to you about NFTs, the new most hated thing on the internet. So we talked a little bit about this behind the scenes. Are you comfortable talking? Did you end up picking any NFTs or what?
No, I haven't bought any
yet. You haven't bought any yet?
I'm like gathering information because now there's like you said, there are people that are like, you're an idiot if you buy one of these things.
They hate it.
You're going to be a gazillionaire if you don't buy them now. So it's like, it's this weird swing. And that's why I call, if you don't know, I called Josh like, hey, do you have any information on it? Cause like, it's actually hard to find like balanced people in the middle saying, you know, it's a risk, be careful, you know, the metaverse is coming. But then you have these people that are pushing back saying it's just a joke. It's just a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to be for people that don't want to leave the house. I mean, they say all kinds of stuff about this. So it's more like I own cryptocurrency.
Right.
But it's more like before, it's just gathering information.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know what websites are safe to put your money in. It's like, cause now you could type in buy NFT on a Google search and like,
I wouldn't do that.
You're like, what?
Yeah. That seems like a like, almost guaranteed way to get scammed.
You can own this monkey smoking a cigarette. Yeah. So it's like, like, how does that work? So I'm in that gathering information phase.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I hear you. I'll just say that,
when are you going to have yours? You gonna make one for the Den of Nerds?
Yeah. So we have one that was minted a couple of years ago now, and it was just like, it was kind of like, we treated it almost like a time capsule thing where I had a video. There's a video on it where I'm like, actually, you can only see the video if you hold the NFT. So the actual NFT looks like a neon sign version of our logo or something. But then if you hold it in your wallet, you have access to this little video. So like, we recorded this like little private video for it or whatever. But I'm so, you know this, but not everybody maybe knows that I'm like super into the space. And we're going to launch a project probably at the end of 2022 that's going to sort of really align our, you know, business and our future plans like with NFTs and crypto and, you know, the blockchain and all that sort of stuff. So I'm like obsessed and I'm really, really into it. But it's been really interesting to watch how different types of folks react to it, because some of it feels like there's a lot of stuff coming from the left and there's a lot of folks that like don't like it from the left angle for a lot of like financial and or energy reasons. Like, they don't like flipping or pumping and dumping, and they don't like making a ton of money, and they don't like, you know, hurting the environment. But some of it comes from people on the right too, that are like, you know, I don't like this idea of like digital everything, like let's live in the real world, like this is all monopoly money, like, you know. So it's been really interesting to watch how different people are, you know, talking about it or thinking about it. But I'll say, since you and I spoke about this, a couple of NFTs that I grabbed up over the like December month, I want to say, bro, these things are now worth like crazy amounts of money. And I think that they will likely be worth even more moving forward. And like at the time of recording this podcast, currently crypto itself just had a huge drop, right? Bitcoin went all the way back down to like the 30s. And yet this some of this NFT stuff is still holding and growing in incredible value. And yeah, man, I just I really like the tech. I'm really fascinated on how like theme parks and big brands could use some of this technology and use like augmented reality or like metaverse stuff to create even crazier like kind of connections, you know what I mean, out there with their stuff. So
you know what they this might be a small taste, but in at like so weird, like at Legoland they have roller coasters where you put on virtual reality goggles while you're riding the roller coaster. So instead of like riding the roller coaster and looking at there, you're seeing like what's on the screen and like feeling
stars and stuff.
And so it's like maybe that's just a small start of it all. So of different things like that. But I mean, a lot of the new rides that are coming out are all like, some of them are very virtual reality style. Simulations. So the Avatar ride, the Flight of Passage, is like, it's not a ride, but people get off that thing like, whoa. Like,
really?
It's all virtual.
Is that universal?
That's probably the best, ride in Orlando. One of the best rides in Orlando. And as much as I can't stand the sequel trilogy, the Rise of the Resistance is pretty.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's really good. I actually never got to ride it when I went on, went down there. Is the Avatar, John, is that Universal or is that Disney?
It's Disney. They have a whole Pandora world, and it's really good.
Cool.
It's really good. Yeah.
Nice. No,
so
I'll
they're adding that. The Transformers ride is very virtual reality type stuff. So it's like there's a lot of that stuff. They're starting to integrate those things with, you know, the newest Harry Potter ride is very, it's like 3D virtual with roller coaster stuff like that too. So I think that's a small step in that direction.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I mean, you want to talk about like getting on an experience where it doesn't take up a lot of space. You know, you sit in the chair and just put it on, you know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me down the road if they made it like you can buy a ticket to go to Universal virtually.
Right. Exactly.
And ride the stuff in your own
home. Yeah. I feel like they've already tried a certain, you know, like that kind of idea and concept at the early stages of VR, which was another tech that I was like, dude, this is crazy. But it just never like clicked. Like I remember, Verizon had a thing where you could virtual reality into like sports games and stuff like that. And it just never took off. Like it never seemed like something people really wanted to do. I mean, it's mad interesting, man. Like, I don't know where all this stuff's going, but the you know, the big companies and these legacy brands, they're probably going to be the ones that like their experiments and like forging ahead is going to like really pave a lot of the way. But one of the reasons that I personally like NFTs as a concept so much is that it actually enables communities, even of smaller communities, to really have a lot of like power and, you know, control. And you know, just with what you were talking about with the rebellion, my thought immediately was like, wow, if Jay had some kind of NFT that he could then, you know, have his, like, do you know what a DAO is? You could have something like that going on for the rebellion and have a lot of people actively engaged in, you know, using that technology and the funds in whatever way they kind of wanted to as a community. So it's that stuff like that is going to really take what I think a lot of people like you and I have already done with, you know, community and brand and, you know, the internet and social media and sort of galvanize it in a really powerful way. And like when Web 3.0 happens, I mean, like, dude, like I feel like it's going to be a whole new world. You know what I mean?
The thing is, though, it's you're at the scratch surface part of it all.
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of the, if there's an exciting part to it all, most people are afraid of change or something different, so they'll criticize it. You know, it just, that's just history for you no matter what happens. It's interesting to see like new stuff, you know, like and then it's like, hey, we were at the beginning.
Yeah.
Now look.
Oh, for sure. This is like when the internet was first popping off and people were like, what the fuck is this? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we don't know, you know, and I think a lot of
Like, I got an email. What do I? I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah,
thing,
like I can't put my credit card into this machine. You know, like so. Right.
And yeah. now our cell phones, you know, you can go to any, you can buy soda with it. So
yeah, I know, right?
You
yeah,
know, and it is. It's very wild.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fascinating to watch. Like for me, it's just gathering. I've always just gathered information.
Yeah.
You know, and make sure, because that's the last thing I want to do is spend a couple thousand dollars on something and be like, yeah, you know, it's like, all right, here it is.
yeah. I've been burned on a couple too.
Yeah. So that's all. I do think we'll probably, you know, what's crazy with stuff like that? I think we'll see, depending on it. Sadly, it does go back to people who are in office. We'll probably see how that stuff is regulated.
Yep.
I do see in the future a huge social media shift. I think it'll be a lot more regulated no matter who's in office. I just think it will be. Yeah. I think social media started, you know, like I guess, what was it? MySpace maybe was like the big one. And then now it is what it is now. And I just think it'll be regulated a little differently.
Yeah, you know, honestly, too, like my hope for this, and like I have like mixed feelings about it, you know what I mean? Because like there's always an ebb and a flow and there's always a pro and a con, right? But one of my biggest concerns with social media is that a lot of this is being fueled by like bots or foreign people, right? Like I don't even think this is debatable. Like Russia and China will come in to like a Phantom Menace comment section and literally try to fuel up both sides. Like they've documented this. Like this shit. Like, did you know that? I think it's something like 8 out of 10 of the top Christian Facebook groups are like 80% bots or foreign people. Like they're not actually Americans. You know what I mean? Like they're, and it's just trying to like sow unrest and all this stuff. And if you got to think about it from China's angle or Russia's angle, we can't win an actual war with America, but we could destroy America via this technology, right? And so I think, you know, and look, your mileage may vary on that. Like maybe there's some people listening to this that are getting triggered and they're like, no, that's not true. Well, you know, I would argue that it is true. And I would say if we had a blockchain verification of like, you know, knowing that I was a real person, that I like, this is connected to my actual ledger and here's all this stuff, you remove a lot of that like interference and like foreign, you know, stuff. On the other hand, anonymity and, you know, being anonymous online is beneficial. And there were certain things that happened like on Twitter where maybe a group of people is getting hurt by like a terrorist organization in some part of the world. They cannot actually say who they are online. Otherwise, they're going to get killed. So they have to be anonymous to like bring certain things to light. So it's a complicated, you know, sort of issue, you know, but I mean,
when we all started Facebook, it was first name, last name, date of birth. I mean, it was like, you know, nobody used like off name. Maybe they did. But like when it first rolled around, it was just like, my real name, here's my birthday, here's more information about me personally that I'm putting on this site. And now as you know, as stuff begins to change, you know, how it becomes private. But I agree with you. I think people from Twitter and Facebook groups and stuff also promote products that we probably don't need or push certain, and I'm not even political, but more like movies, TV shows, things like that. And it's just, they can get the hashtags going where it'll bring more eyes to something that maybe just didn't have a lot of eyes to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's like that. That's a form of manipulation that they might be able to just kind of, you know, slow down a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be great, dude, to sort of curtail that would be excellent because, it's a real problem, you know. Like I sort of ebb and flow back and forth between like how serious is this, how bad is this. Is this normal human behavior that's being extrapolated out, or is this thing affecting human behavior? It's sort of a hard thing to get your head around, but I think two things. I think number one, with just maturity and time, like think about you and I and like our experience, like years has sort of taught us to take it a little less serious, to be a little more chill about it. You know what I mean? And you would hope that maturity would be a part of this, but yeah, number two, like probably some regulation, you know what I mean? To sort of stop this manipulation and to Yeah, to stop that story. It's scary, and I know certain people are like 1984, like Orwellian shit. You know what I mean? Like, and look, obviously nobody wants that, but at the same time, like, what's happening right now ain't good, bro. Like, it's very destructive online for some folks. You know.
The other thing is too is that sometimes people create false accounts to attack themselves personally to push.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, look, I'm being attacked on Twitter by this person right here. Well, it's actually that person themselves because they're trying to make the whatever they're doing seem, yep, you know, relevant or whatever. Yeah, it's if all
or
that stuff
to make
can be,
the other side, like they'll pretend to be a Phantom Menace person and go do something awful. You know what I mean? Just to sort of give an association, like, but they're not actually Phantom Menace, right? Like they're actually they want to hurt the Menace or whatever. You know, so like that kind of stuff happens all the time, and it's like, dude. Like, what is even real, bro? And then, like, in my space, we watch, you know, like, leak videos and, like, all these different, like, oh, shit, like, this leak or that or whatever. Bro, some stuff's been happening. And then, like, a couple of days later, the guy's like, oh, it was fake. Here's how I did it. And I'm sitting there like, bro, what is even life? Like, what is even real? Yeah. Like, I can't trust my own eyes anymore. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
All right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's why you got to go outside.
Touch some grass. Over here, it's just snow right now, though, dog.
Go to a theme park, ride a ride, yeah. Feel the breeze through your face because, you know, pretty soon it's just, you know, what if they can make fake stuff look so real,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
then what will people believe, you know, in the future? So I hope,
yeah,
that kind of stuff will be.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we move past it. It would be better for everybody. But before I get out of here, you know, plug your stuff, plug your channel. You got anything going on that the people should know about? I mean, you know, what's going on for Park Hoppin and Drunk 3PO?
The Drunk 3PO channel is just, we're constantly just having different guests on the Welcome to Rebellion podcast. It's where I record it live. And then it's everywhere. It's not on iTunes yet because iTunes, I think I got to have so many episodes and hours before they'll take it, but Spotify, everywhere else that you listen to podcasts, it'll be on iTunes soon enough. I just had actor Matthew Marsden on. That was pretty cool. He was in Black Hawk Down and Rambo and stuff, just talking about his projects. And the Park Hoppin' channel is over there at Geeks and Gamers, man. We are just, it's just a full, I love it. Like doing 2-3 videos a day. There's always breaking news. It's crazy. And it's just, we're just having a blast. You know, over there, it's just a fun channel, laughing at silliness, calling out silliness, and then going to be silly. You know, like that's just where we are. So those are the things that, you know, focus on right now.
Nice.
And it's been fun, man. Like I'm saying, like I just enjoying life. So yeah, I just enjoying life. So
amen. Amen. Well, everybody, this has been my conversation with Drunk 3PO. Those two or three of you out there now have to decide how you feel about Jay. So let him know. Follow him on social media or whatever. And yeah, man, thanks for doing this. I'm going to jump on yours soon. I know we'll figure out a day soon because you like doing them live, yeah?
Yeah.
Going to put my feet to the fire and all that live.
Yeah, we just won't let you see the chat.
You're going to be like, here's the thing. Oh, I don't look at your chats. I don't look at those chats. You think I want to see all that? Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that soon. That should be really fun. Hey, man, I appreciate you. I tell people all the time, I think Jay is the salt of the earth. He's a great human being. And it was cool to get to. Yeah, for sure, man. But it's cool to get to know you a little bit through the whole weird internet thing. And I think that, you know, having human empathy for people, you know, the content's a thing. Social media is a thing, but humans are a myriad of things and complex. So I appreciate you. It's good to know you. And yeah, I'm sure we'll talk again soon, man. So
yeah,
thanks for
that. Like, I feel like at the beginning of this, I might have been babbling a little bit because I was just trying to fill out like some of the questions about Geeks and Gamers. But at the end of the day, just. Jeremy, I love Jeremy and Ryan. They're friends. Just to be perfectly clear, I love everything going on over there. And you know, that's just get to know. If you really, really have an issue, just get to know them.
Yeah,
I can't answer for them. That maybe that's the big thing. It's like I can't speak for them. So
yeah, totally, man.
But
totally.
I appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, really brother. Absolutely. We'll talk soon, man. Okay.